Let's get caught up with Persona. Yo, welcome back. Welcome back to the Painfuls podcast. I'm the Painful and this space is for you. Welcome to the bonfire. I should be saying welcome to the gamer's den, but you know what? Let's do that. Welcome to the gamer's den where we are teachable here and we apply the things that we learn in our lives and we share those life lessons. We share those gifts. Even in the gamer's den, we have elders, all right? We still aren't wandering lone wolves in these streets without any guidance. We apply the wisdom and guidance of the elders for a smooth and prosperous life. For that is the life the elders want for us, whether it is at the bonfire, the gamer's den, Starbucks, or at your local dungeon. All right, it's the truth. The elders want us to be successful. If you are unaware of who I am and what I do, I am an artist, business owner of J. Green Art, in which I function as an art instructor, children's book illustrator, and the creator and producer of the children's show called The Painted Fool's Paint House, in which I teach children how to paint, problem solve, and save the day, ages about 2 to 6. But if you are like me and are you're a big child at heart, all ages, you can find the show on YouTube and the Goddess Talk Network, which is airing on Roku Player, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and Comcast Big South. The show is very reminiscent to some of your favorite children's shows, past and present, you know, but I've got my inspiration from You'll See When You Watch It. All right. This space here is a huge space for everyone in which we share something in common, whether it is gaming, whether it is something artistic, whether it is an interview of some topic, whatever it is, I talk about a lot. This is also like a huge toy box, so you know, it is what it is. Thepainful.com to see what this is all about. Vulnerability, just talking, sharing things. It's a sacrificial space. If you are a misfit, come here. Let's bang. Let's hang. All right. Oh, and I'm not providing any recaps. If you haven't listened to the previous Persona episode, that's on you. We're jumping right into it where we left off at after Futaba's Palace, all right? So we open with the crew. We're all sitting in the attic and we're trying to make sense of the shadows. The shadows we were used to in the other palaces were victims of some sort. Now in Futaba's Palace, they weren't. This was all created by Futaba's hijacked memory. So these were a little different. And Makoto's like, even though they seem to be alive, they're only part of the backdrop, the environment. The palace ruler determines the form and strength of their cognitions. Abusive cognitive science can lead to death, and it could be related to the psychotic breakdown incidents. And she begins to intuit a strong connection between that and the metaverse. It's possible the research was stolen and used by someone else. Possibly the guys that showed Futaba the fake suicide note. So Makoto's like, wait, even if Futaba is a genius, could she really run an international hacker organization that easily? And Futaba's all, well, the one who taunted the Phantom Thieves is a guy in Japan. She knew the MedJet members in Japan weren't anything special, so she wasn't worried because she's the founder of MedJet. And I had a hunch. Sometimes I predict the storylines of things, and I knew it. Now, she further explains that she was the only MedJet member initially, and she called herself the Hacker of Justice. And she remained anonymous until people started, I guess, co-opting the MedJet name and started calling themselves the MedJet, and they were committing actual real cyber crimes. She mentioned it was too difficult to expose all of them, so she left them be and then changed her name to Alibaba. And she went rogue again, basically. So Makoto's all, join the Phantom Thieves. Just come with us. And she's like, okay, cool, fine, no problem. Anyway, Makoto is trying to get more information just about her background. You know, Makoto's doing her digging. She's prying. She wants more information. Her being just her, you know, she's like, where did you learn how to hack? And how do you find out about us? And every reply from Futaba is all, secret, private, like super computer, just syntax, that type of short one-word replies. She's talking like a system, like a computer system. And eventually the crew were all like, she's too difficult to get to know. And I think we should, well, we think that we should spend time with her one by one to understand her socially. All right, so let's pause there. We're going to switch over to another scene. So Akechi, you remember Akechi? Akechi and Sai are speaking back at the police station. Sai can't stay calm. She's losing it at the moment. And Akechi is all trying to calm her down, being a little funny and in his own way. And he's all, stress is the enemy of beauty. I don't like Akechi, and I don't know why, but I have a hunch. I think I know why. But he's trying to joke with her. At this point, she's stressed because the police station, who is supposed to be, they're supposed to bring justice, and they're supposed to absolve crimes and all of this good stuff, and they weren't. So they're being perceived as incompetent. And Akechi begins to think that Medjet was dealt with by the Phantom Thieves, or possibly another supporter of the Phantom Thieves. And he's beginning to suspect mass manipulation, plotting the psychic breakdowns. And he's like, I won't forgive whoever this is. Anyway, a few days pass. Myself, Makoto, and Yusuke are in Futaba's room. And she's all shocked that we want to meet her up there. So we've decided prior to this meeting that each member would get to know her. So it starts with Makoto seeking if Futaba's her... Just like basically understand her food interests. And she's asking her more questions and trying to get to know her. And she's like, I like organic foods. She asks her about the weather. Futaba replies all short and uninterested. And then Makoto is, she's thrown off because she wants to know and she wants to control the direction of the meeting or the interview, quote unquote. But it's just not going her way. And Yusuke, meanwhile, he's over there on her shelves, like switching the heads and the limbs of her little there. You know, I love how the game has like cheap knockoff versions of real things that we're used to, like Power Rangers. They have movie titles and things that are supposed to be movie titles that we know, but they change the names of them. It's really funny. He's over there changing the heads and the limbs of her Power Ranger figures. And that's when it set her off. And that's when we begin to see her personality a bit more, or at least her irritable side. She called those toys her children, and she began to panic. So she insulted Yusuke. And this is what she says. She's like, you wouldn't know a thing about aesthetics if it hit you in the face. Now, that is a massive insult to an artist. As y'all know, Yusuke is an artist. Of course, he would know aesthetics. No, he would know them. So eventually they stop arguing. And they begin conversing about the figurines. And then there's an official schedule on who meets with Futaba next. Who's going to break her from her social issues, and who's going to help cultivate her? So we're all going to help cultivate her in different ways. So I was next to meet with her, and she's supposed to help us out at the cafe. So anyway, following day, she arrives at the cafe. Sojiro never had her help out. And you would imagine that, okay, he adopted her. Why wouldn't Futaba be working with Sojiro? But of course, she was in her room and she was afraid of things and she was dealing with her social anxiety and all of her plaguing thoughts. So he's like, make sure she's okay. Will she be okay? And then she interjects like, I'm right here. I graduated middle school. Like I'm fine. Have faith in me. You know, she's like saying, think of this cafe experience as her first summer job of high school. She'll be fine. So Gerald asks her to wash the dishes and not to push herself too hard. Okay, cool. She drops something inside the cafe. So Gerald rushes along asking if she's okay. And then this customer walks in, the pompous customer, and many of you players know, you Phantom Thieves know who the pompous customer is. For the listeners who aren't aware, the pompous customer, he's this strange customer that comes in that makes Sojiro uncomfortable. Obviously, they share some type of history. We just don't know yet. He is relevant to the story, and I'll get back to him with more information. for you. So Gerald tells me to keep an eye on Futaba so he can deal with the pompous customer. So I check on Futaba to make sure she's good, and she says she's all right. At this point, so Gerald and the pompous customer are exchanging words. The customer is all, you know, is she talking about Futaba? Is she your new part-time? Smooth as always. What number Bond girl is this, boss? And so Gerald is like, it's not like that. So the customer is all, well, you usually go for the older ones, right? It's only natural you want someone younger sometimes. It's like Guatemala pea berry coffee. Its acidic sweetness is akin to the breath of fresh air. And so Gerald's all, sorry, we're having a blend today. He tells me to hurry and serve the customer. Seconds later, Futaba is wearing this, you know, the huge geisha-looking mask over her head. She uses that to hide herself from dealing with her social anxiety. So she's walking with this huge mask on, and she hands the customer his cup, and she's talking to him in this deep voice and just real awkward. And so Gerald's all, I told you not to bring that damn thing in front of people. Be more polite. Be more polite when you're bringing something to a customer. She changes the pitch of her voice to a much more friendly one and hands the drink to him. And he says thanks a little reluctantly. And then we go back to the bar. Myself, Sojiro, and Futaba, we're back at the bar and we're talking. I tell her that she's done a great job. Sojiro's impressed that she's developing her character. Given that she's wearing that work mask, that big geisha mask, she's not only left that paralysis of her fear, but she's gradually socializing, which is great. She's just not ready to take the mask off. So the same night, in a group text, Yusuke is like, yo, did anyone here share information about our real identities? Because I overheard someone in the city talking about they're our acquaintance. And we're all like, nah, we ain't gonna say nothing. And right, Ryuji, he's the most hype one because he's all about the fame and the notoriety and the anonymity of it all. And he's just like, yo, I like that we're receiving all this press and media coverage, even though no one knows our actual identities. And that's his thing. He loves that the most about being a phantom thief. It is the power, the authority, it just fuels within him. Following day, right? It's now An and Makoto's time to spend time with Futaba. So An sent a text out suggesting that since she's out on her way to us, she's shopping out with Makoto. Just wait, basically. And Makoto is like, yo, I wanted to bring Futaba along with us. And An is like, well, we can't just take her into crowds like that. It's just way too soon. So we're trying to figure out, like, what's going on. Makoto was like, well, sometimes drastic measures are necessary. And Futaba's all, you have such spiky words. Queens have lots of, she says, queens clothes. She said, queens clothes have lots of spikes too. They probably pierce my hand if I touch them. If you know Makoto's name in the metaverse, her name is Queen. That's her alias. And her outfit, like on her shoulder pads, she has like these sharp spokes on her shoulder pads. And it just reinforces her character and reinforces her personality and all that good stuff. So that's why she said that. And she is a bit aggressive, just not that type of aggressive, but it's a passive aggressive, but it's a bit oppressive. It is. Yusuke agreed with Futaba. Anyway, so I want to just skip to, this is all building, okay? We're building before we get to the next palace. So just get comfortable. An and Makoto arrive saying they're late and they were looking for a swimsuit for Futaba. They were looking for a swimsuit for her. This girl, she's going to panic because we begin to understand that she's either going to a pool or the beach, and it's the beach. All right. We were all in the attic, by the way, at this point. So the guys go downstairs and Futaba tries on the swimsuit. So Jiro walks in and asks what's going on. And he's kind of shocked that she would be this interested in going outside again. You know, she had a massive change in her personality. A few days pass. We're one day away from going to the beach together. And at this point, Akechi walks in. who reveals his identity to Sojiro. Now remember, Akechi's working with Sai, and she was interrogating Sojiro earlier in the previous episode if you listened. So of course, Sojiro is offended, and all he can say to Akechi is, "I have nothing else to tell you." And Akechi, in his calm and polite fake demeanor, he's like, "Oh no, that's not my intention. I just came to enjoy some coffee, whatever Sojiro recommends." And then he continues saying that he's unwelcome wherever he goes and begins to open up to me. His mother was in a relationship with a man who left her when she became pregnant. He was passed from foster to foster home. And he's just speaking and I'm just listening. Then he just switches gears in conversation to talk about the Medjed. He's like, "To think they'd be taken down by another hacker. I'm not sure whether Medjet was defeated by the Phantom Thieves themselves or an avid supporter." This is how his voice sounds. It annoys me. He then asks Futaba if she's a fan of the Phantom Thieves, and she's a bit defensive. She doesn't trust him. You know. Then he says, "I think I found my go-to cafe now." But Futaba did a great job avoiding the traps of Akechi, because I felt like he was trying to get more information. He was trying to dig, because I don't think he's honest. I think he was trying to, at that moment, trying to pull info from Futaba, because Futaba's story was pretty similar. Until Sojiro adopted her, that's the story of Akechi. I mean, that was a story that he was, that Akechi was trying to use with Futaba, or just in that area to get her attention. It's a corny psychological trick, but he was trying. Whack. So the same night, Futaba texts me to come outside the cafe because she wants to light some fireworks. Now, what this means, this is pretty big. This means that she went to buy everything on her own. She got the fireworks by herself. She went to the store by herself. So this is massive growth. This is over the course of days, mind you. I lay down, speak to some confidants and level them up. And now we're at beach day. We're building. It's beach day now. So Gerald's all, "Don't let any dudes try to hit on her." And Futaba's all uncomfortable. He's like, "Can we go? It's just a day trip. Don't underestimate me." All right. The big reveal comes when the girls are all in their swimsuits, and you have like the camera panning up from the bottom up, and the guys are all sweating and looking all, you know, typical anime fashion. This is mad. It's mad funny. And everyone, like, the guys are shirtless except for Yusuke. He's wearing a white hoodie and long ass shorts in the beach. Yusuke reminds me of me when I was younger. He really does. Anyway, while the girls they went away on a banana boat ride, the guys, they're sitting back and they're trying to flirt with girls because they wanted to flex this confidence they've obtained as Phantom Thieves, but no one knows they're Phantom Thieves, obviously, but it's just this confidence that they have on the inside. Anyway, we're unsuccessful. And we stand by the coast and we just start having dialogue, and Yusuke feels like they're being followed. They turn around, right? And notices some gay dudes from the red light district that crushed on Ryuji some time ago. There's a red light district in the game that is relevant to the story. I didn't include, but it's just part of some missions and things like that. And you can build your relationships with some of the characters and stuff, but the red light district is a space there, and the guys there were crushing on him. They happened to find him at the beach, and they were like, you know, it was just a mess. Yusuke walked off for a bit, and Ryuji and I were fending them off, and you know, we've somewhat run off. Yusuke returns with the lobster in each hand, saying he hasn't been shaken at the core of his sight. He hasn't been shaken at his core at the sight of beauty like that since seeing An. And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And the lobsters to him are so beautiful. He says the lobsters are for visual appreciation. Like, when I tell you, Yusuke, there's moments when I have moments like this where I'll be sitting out there and I'll be like, this tree is just so gorgeous. And people be clowning me like, "You're just such a little... My little tree hugger, you're just so extra." I'm like, "Nah, this is just me." I know many of you relate to that. When you'll be sitting here chilling and then you'll just be looking at the leaves fall. You're like, "Oh my God, this is so beautiful. You start seeing things." And if you're an artist, it's even worse. Anyway, we catch up with the rest of the girls and we start spending time together. All right. It's sunset, right? And Makoto suggests that we head home. Futaba is staring at the horizon. And she's like, all this time, I thought it was my fault that my mom died. Everyone looked at me thinking I was the murderer, and I ended up hating the world, and that's why I shut myself in and covered my ears. I wish my mom would come back to life, and sometimes I'd wake up and think it was all a dream, but nothing changed in the world. And she wanted to become like her mom. And she went on further to explain how much she loved her mom, pardon my phone. How much she loved her mother and all of her studies and all that good stuff. And she repeated something her mother said. She said, the cognitive world can become distorted through desires. If it becomes distorted, a person begins exhibiting problematic behavior in reality. That cognitive world disappears when you remove its core, and further problematic actions stop. Okay. Anne's like, isn't that about palaces? Morgana's all, that's the metaverse. She knew about that. Yeah. And Futaba is, yeah, it made no sense back then, but now I understand after it actually happened to me. All I thought about was my mom, and I was trapped in a cognitive labyrinth, and I couldn't get out of it. There was nothing I could do by myself. So Ryuji validates her fortitude and desire for healing. And he's like, well, that's why you asked us to steal your heart. That's a huge jump in logic in so many ways. So she admitted listening in on the cafe wasn't for the Phantom Thieves originally. It was to make sure that Sojiro was working. But then she heard us speaking about stealing hearts. So it was an excellent coincidence that we crossed paths in that way. And we learned that her focus isn't about changing hearts, and it's to find out why her mother was killed. Should the self in the cognitive world die, the self in the real world would lose consciousness. So the person that Kaneshiro mentioned could be the one that's been causing the mental shutdowns in the metaverse. And Futaba begins to think that her mother's murderers were the people in the black suits. So we get Futaba's name in the metaverse. We call her Oracle. You know, that's her cult name. Mine is Joker. How fitting. Ryuji's is Skull. An is Panther. Makoto is Queen. Morgana, ooh, what is Morgana's name? I forget. That's crazy. Is it more? I think it's just Morgana. Yeah, it is Morgana. And we have Oracle. Yusuke is Fox. And we continue. I'm building more social skills and I head to sleep. Now, Morgana has a nightmare of a shadow version of himself in Mementos. Instead of it being human, it was a cat form. We learn that Morgana wants to go back to his old self, which he thinks is a human form. And it's been causing him some distress throughout the progression of the game. You know, okay, some days pass. I wake up, I hang up with Futaba and learn her major arcana confidant, which is the Hermit Tarot. It makes sense. Within there is so much wisdom. And Futaba, I love her character for so many reasons, and I can't articulate why, but I think the interest in the opening conversation, I mean, the whole game is about psychology, but I think this whole thing about false memories has really been amazing. Really been amazing. And yeah, it's interesting. So yeah, fitting for her confidant to be the Hermit Tarot. We devise a plan for Makoto to install a flash drive on Sai's computer to get more information about the cognitive science investigation. It's getting juicy, okay? All right. We agree to eat together. We have some hot pot. Dope, right? And each character to me, as this is going on as I'm observing, as I'm playing, I love to see the expressions of their different personalities. You have that fiery Ryuji, the seductive and alluring An, the investigative and serious Makoto. You got that private and withdrawn Futaba, the mysterious and ambiguous Yusuke. my character who has, he has so many options and choices and decisions. He's genuinely like the fool. And it's dope. I just love it. It's now September, right? School starts. I'm talking with Ryuji in the school garden about how the Phantom Thieves are showing up in the media. And Ryuji bumps into this girl watering flowers. She has red hair. And she apologizes. And we head inside the school. For now, though, nothing more comes of that. All right. Following day, Makoto was talking to Sai. At the moment, Sai is listing the evidence that was taken into storage. She's a little upset, and it's because this isn't what she normally does. She doesn't have the time to waste on something like that, and you know, she was just irritated, but she didn't want the office to read the irritation on her face. So she's working at the house. So she's working, you know. Makoto was there, and she's like, "Yo, take a bath." Sai agrees. This is the time. The computer is right there, y'all. The plot is thick. So Makoto immediately jumps to transferring the flash drive Futaba gave to her. We're at 40%. She's talking in the shower. She's trying to keep her just in there. 60% talking. It's getting mad tense. And now I'm beginning to panic with Makoto at this point because she didn't. Like, Sai wasn't even washing that long. She took a 30-second shower. And as she's walking out, all the data transfers successfully. She got it, and the day ends. Now it's September 3rd, and Makoto starts with the group text with, "I got it." She's like, "I got it." Later in the day, right? We're at Futaba's house while she's extracting the information, right? And you know, we're talking and stuff like that. And we get more information. She's getting bits and pieces. It says little things are popping up. It says perpetrated and connected. Makoto Zaw, these are the words that are coming up. And Makoto was like, it means that mental shutdowns aren't coincidence. That this is a case with a culprit behind it. They're starting to put pieces together. And Futaba's like, actually, it's not just about people having shutdowns. It looks like she's inferring that the psychotic breakdown incidents are connected to the same case. Futaba says it's going to take a few days to extract the data and that she'll have it by the time they're back from the class trip. She wants some souvenirs from Hawaii though. And she says she thinks it's an information war. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Now, we then understand that there is a new target that we have to enter the palace of. And this person's name is Okamura. We're going to find out what Okamura is about. But I wanted to catch you all up on where we are for when we continue on with the story. Because we have this new character. I want to get into that and her personality and the rest of it as we go. But I'm back and I missed you guys. I missed my Phantom Thieves. I'll catch you next time. Peace.